fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael. Back here with this Faith and Freedom show. We enjoyed that. Jason Sager, real good. I've got the lines closed right now. You've had a good time for your calls. Great calls, by the way. People tuning in, and I really appreciated the calls. Brian Moore called. I really appreciated his. We had to cut him off just because there was a little bleed over, and we weren't able to. He could not distinguish that he was talking the same time our guest was talking, so we had to cut it off just because the equipment wasn't up to par. Now, when we grow up, we get some par equipment. We'll be okay. We'll see what happens with that. We're going to deal with what we got and enjoy it while we can. That was good stuff. I was, as I said before the break, I was quite impressed by Jason Sager's ability to just address these issues very substantively. It wasn't I feel this. He wasn't like the old classic, you know, I'm a conservative. He said on the air, he said that he was a Christian first. And so his obligation was to Almighty God. And you know what? That's what the founders understood. He's not going to make you conform to his image, but he's going to be accountable for what he thinks and what he does on the basis of the law, the ultimate law, that has been revealed from the very beginning. And then because of that, because he's got to love his neighbor as himself, he's going to make sure that he has a solid and well-weighed innovations. Let me, in fact, I'm going to quote again from Sir William Blackstone. He said that the purpose of somebody going to represent you, to be a delegate in your legislature, is to propose, to adopt, and to cherish any solid and well-weighed improvement. Solid and well-weighed improvement. And the problem is, we've had a history of government of creating problems so that they can have a problem solver, which will give them more power to create problems to have more problem solvers. And I'm saying that a little bit. I'm not even being facetious. It's kind of what we see. It's just the fall of mankind. Things go from order to chaos. It's the law of nature. Well, let's continue to see what Blackstone said here. So, can cherish any solid and well-weighed improvement, bound by every tie of nature, of honor, and of religion. Seeing what your religion is will affect what you think. If you have a love your neighbor as yourself mentality, rather than a kill everybody who doesn't conform, or let everybody do whatever they want no matter how much it hurts their neighbor, you see, every tie of nature, bound by every tie of nature, honor, and religion, to transmit that constitution and those laws to their posterity, amended if possible, at least without any derogation. So if you're going to amend something, make sure you're not making it worse. Let's see the structure of the foundation, the law of the land from the beginning, why it was there, and what were those precepts that they were relying upon for the safety of the nation. I'm going to go on reading Blackstone. And how unbecoming must it appear in a member of the legislature to vote for a new law who is utterly ignorant of the old? What kind of interpretation can he be enabled to give who is a stranger to the text upon which he comments? Well, we heard a lot about that lately, didn't we? 2,000-page bills that nobody reads. There's some problems. So it was neat the way Jason Sager brought up the single object rule, and of course it's something he had been thinking about. I did not know that. I just thought it was something to bring up to him. And hopefully some of the wisdom that we've had here for Freedom or the Liberty Works Radio Network on this Faith and Freedom show were things that would be wisdom for Jason as he continues in his desire to love his neighbor as himself, as a servant. Now, of course, if we can get Mr. Nugent as an interviewee, we're going to do that too, and hopefully we'll have just as much fun and see what Mr. Nugent has to say. That would be great. I'm going to make this interview available on our website. Our website is faithfreedoms.org, and you can find out anytime about my website. Type in my name, David Allen Carmichael, on the web, and find out more and get to our faithfreedoms.net website. I do want to go to something here, and I was thinking about government. About government. When somebody called, I think it was Roy Carmichael called from Marion County, and he said, well, you know, if these guys don't enforce the law, that should be in and of itself. They should be in trouble. It should be impeachable. And of course, my comment was, unless Congress, and I cited the wrong article. It's not Article 4. I was thinking full faith and credit clause. But they have been given the power to enact legislation to basically carry out these provisions of the Constitution. But if they don't pass a law that says, okay, executive agent or secretary, you have to do the following thing or else that's a misdemeanor. If you ignore Congress, it's a misdemeanor. Then, of course, if they write a law like that, then, of course, they can charge somebody with impeachment and get them in the impeachment process. But otherwise, without that, there's no penalty on earth. We're not supposed to necessarily create a government so that we are the police power, that we are holding everybody accountable for every wrong. Because it's appointed man wants to die, then the judgment for all of sin to fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what a Christian would understand, and it's found in the Bible. So one of the things about this Faith and Freedom show, I'm going to talk about these issues on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong, and that there's ultimately a senior government official. We have many people claim the name of Christ and say, well, you know, Christ is my Lord. I don't have to listen to the local magistrate because there's one magistrate and he is Jesus. Now, this is what, if you want to go back to the Bible and find out where people are getting this, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, for unto us a child is born. Makes you think of the nativity, doesn't it? Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Now, that seems like a kind of a political guy, right? A government power. But watch this. This is the tricky nuance. And people say, oh, how would God become a man and all this kind of stuff? Well, listen to this. For unto us a child is born. That's a man, a child, man-child. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. So that's somebody who's holding power on earth, huh? And his name will be called, now watch this, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, how do you square that one, folks? You're a rational human being. You're reading those words. They were Hebrew. They translated into English. And it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. So it's a man who they call Mighty God, whose government will be eternal. Woo! I'll finish this up. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. Wow, that's a high standard. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform that. And that is Isaiah chapter 9. If you want to look that up, it's in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 9. In fact, those of you interested in the Dead Sea Scrolls, as I understand it, had an entire Isaiah, the book of Isaiah in its entirety in it. So that's a little bit of interesting trivia. So that's something to think about. And I do want to get to something else about the responsibility of people, biblical responsibility, to submit to an earthly government, even if it isn't of Jesus. And we're going to try to keep that in the right context. Caller, thank you for calling Frank Talk 104.3 FM. What's your question or comment?
Well, I enjoyed the interview. It was very worthwhile.
I did, too.
I kind of told you that I heard him before, and he was very good. And you know me, and I'm not very impressed by politicians. But I will say, at least on the basis of the interview, it was very enlightening.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Getting back to the immigration issue, David. I hear it being said that this is all being done by design, that they don't want to solve the problem, and you know what the reasons are. And
that's a whole new show, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and we can fight this issue till we're blue in the face, but it apparently there must be some truth to it because nothing's being done about it, and this is the plan that's being laid out, and we know what that plan is, to merge the three or four countries all together.
But you know what? We as Americans have no excuse, except for those of us who they won't let vote unless we become a socialist. But that's a whole new show by itself.
Right.
But really, you have the ability right now to have another revolution in that, without any bearing of arms, in that if you fire everybody in Congress every 2 years, you can put people like whoever you want, no names given, but if you put people in there who are really tuning into these things, like you are and many concerned people throughout the country,
yep.
You can literally, there's a revolution possible every 2 years in America. Use it or lose it.
And the reason for that being, too, is by putting new people in there. If you keep the old people in there that are the incumbents, they're already bought off and paid for.
And not all of them, but, I mean, that's...
But by keeping it fresh all the time, it doesn't give them a chance to get too cozy and get bought off, and then you just keep that door open and keep fresh people in there all the time.
Yeah, and there was a comment by, I think it was Miami Herald, of all things. Okay. I was reading an article that was talking about the current 5th Congressional District person in there and saying how initially she was known as being somebody who was a hard charger for fighting for the underdog, and then when she got into Congress, all of a sudden it was kowtowing to whatever the political power and passion was most influential.
It seems to me that's probably why a lot of these people, they seem to gather a lot of dirt on them and they use it against them when they become elected.
And that's,
either you play ball our way or here's what we're going to do to you.
And there's a way to change that. Every 2 years, it's time for revolution. Hey, good call. I got to close up the show. Thanks. Okay. What we're going to do, folks, is I want to get to this point just before we leave. Biblical basis. Jason brought out some stuff about, you know, we got to make sure that we punish people. Or actually, I think it was that caller, Craig, who said, what about holding people accountable who are hiring the people who are here unlawfully? And again, that gets a little bit tricky because how do you, by what authority do you make somebody change the way they contract with somebody? If the criminal basis is supposed to presume everybody's not a criminal, how can you write a law that makes everybody who is a private person consider everybody a criminal? So that's a whole different show in itself. But I want to get to this biblical perspective. Says, therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors. As I read that Jesus, all the responsibility of government is on the shoulders of the man Jesus, whom many call Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And it says in the Bible it was going to happen. So the government is upon his shoulders. Now that's even the government of men, because eventually every single knee will, and every single tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, who is blessed forever. Amen. That's what the Bible says. So ultimately, we're going to be held accountable, no matter what strange conversations we have today about whether, whether life came forming on the backs of crystals or whatever. You know, whatever weird persuasion you have, political passion, or other thing that you'd like to do for your personal gratification, ultimately, we're going to be held accountable. And I cannot leave the show without bringing that up and pointing that out, folks, because I have an obligation as a Christian extremist to love God and love my neighbor as myself. So I'd like you to consider that. Hey, for reference, read Isaiah chapter 9. I went to this issue about government and our submitting to the earthly governments. It says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, so here we are in America, folks. We've got a huge responsibility. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And because of that, we have a huge responsibility toward our neighbor and preserving this land and the law of the land for our liberty and our good, not merely our security. I'm telling you, we're going to reap the benefits of security as we protect and do what is necessary to protect our liberty. I'll tell you what, if you've got the courage to do what it takes to preserve the liberty for your posterity and willing to give of yourself to do that, you're going to have the courage to protect your neighbor from the onslaught of somebody who would make their life insecure. I'm David Allen Carmichael. This is my Faith and Freedom Show. Thank you for tuning in to the Frank Talk 104.3 FM. Check out our podcast, faithfreedoms.net, linked from our faithfreedoms.org website. Look forward to coming back next week and talking more on a constitutional, biblical, and right versus wrong basis.